And it's first and goal from the four. Daniels is going to walk it in for the touchdown.
Yeah, he had not yet thrown his first touchdown. That would come, I think, on the next drive to Trent Scott, which will create a trivia question, hopefully down the road, because to really have a trivia question about something you did early in your career, you had to go have a career, which the first three games certainly indicate he's off to one here in Washington. 38-33 Washington last night over Cincinnati. If you're just checking in, I doubt you are. But really, the co-lead or the co-headline, if not the headline, was one of the more memorable performances by a quarterback in recent franchise history. And really, going back historically, one of the better quarterbacked games, period, rookie or veteran, in franchise history. Jaden Daniels was 21 of 23 for 254 yards. As I mentioned, he accounted for 293 of the available 390 yards in the game, you know, based on the number of drives they had, their starting field position, minus 10 yards in offensive penalties. That's pretty good. Do we have Ben? I think we have Ben Standing, who joins us on Mondays, Fridays, but Tuesdays after game days. He was there in Cincinnati last night at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic, of course, and listen to his podcast, Last Man Standing. So let's start where we always start after a game. This one clearly special and memorable, but what were your big takeaways?
A buddy of mine texted me this morning and asked me, he knows I grew up, I was a fan of the team, and he's still a fan. He's asking me, when I'm watching this game, do I get any rush as like a fan? Because it was so fascinating to see what Jaden Daniels was doing. And I was like, no, but I did get the rare feeling of being excited, knowing that everybody else was going to be excited for reasons that I used to be excited for, if that makes sense. Because what that was, people get worked up over wins, and that's fine, because that's the people want to see that. But where is it going, right? That was always the issue for the last umpteen years. Even when there were positive moments, it was like, okay, but what's going to happen now? The ceiling's pretty low. The whole, cleaning out all the baggage from before, and then bringing in this kid to help fill in that gap, and then for him to deliver that performance. And it's not just that he had a spectacular game, because these things can be one-off. It's seen, for me at least, the progression from the summer to the preseason to the first game to the second game to the third game, and how in certain cases, especially things like the poise in the pocket, the improvement has been so obvious each and every time. And to have the that calm, that poise when things are getting tense. I mean, the Bengals didn't go away, even though Washington's offense was killing it, and then to make the fourth down throw to Ertz on that last drive, to then of course throw just an unbelievably preposterous dime to Terry McLaurin for the touchdown. I don't know where this is going. None of us do, but the fact that it might be going somewhere that's pretty amazing is wow. It's quite the moment to see. And we're a typically cynical bunch in the press box for, I think, fair reasons, based on having covered this team. And I think we were
the fan base should be cynical, should be skeptical, because they've never given us a reason to be anything but that.
Yeah, no, 100%. But it was pretty fun. And the funniest part was, The one person who seemed to be the calmest, at least around us, about everything that happened was the quarterback. The locker room, of course, they're collectively they're all hyped and loud. And when we asked about Jaden, it was just praise on top of praise. And with him, it was like, I think I did all right. I think I did well. We won. I know the work I've put in, so it was great to see it happen. But he didn't, I've been around plenty of other athletes who've had big games, big moments, and they're sticking their chest out. And he was like, this is kind of what I do. And I think on some level, I know this is a day for all the film nerds to get out there and show everybody on tape, wow, look at this, wow, look at that. And I think that is only going to tell you part of the story. His demeanor, his presence is, I think, so much of why, for me, has stood out throughout these last several months, because that's not something that everybody has. A lot of guys are great athletes, can throw the perfect pass, but to have that presence that guys gravitate towards, that lets you know, not only did I kind of expect this to happen, but I'm ready for this moment, I just think says so much about this kid.
Yeah, I mean, the other stuff that really we can see, but they really can feel and understand and know, is just as important as, oh, by the way, when he started off to running, he didn't see Luke McCaffrey downfield, or he didn't see Noah Brown downfield. Thank you for saying that. Now, look, I understand what you said about, you know, where is it going, you know? And you and I have had this conversation a little bit here and there over the last couple of weeks. It should not be exclusive, because the conversation about where is it right now is appropriate. You know, for me it is. And I've had that conversation with you over the last few weeks. These NFL seasons are these individual, you know, entities and packages. Each week of it is. You just can't can't predict the future. You don't know what you're going to have down the road. You don't know what the competitive landscape will be. Each one of these seasons are, you know, are gifts, and every once in a while it may not look like it before the season starts, but all of a sudden when you start to actually play the games, you realize, hey, we can be one of these teams that fights for a playoff spot, makes the playoffs, just like six or seven other teams. So let's focus on that for a moment. What can they be right now? Because I think last night, with respect to this season, should be a conversation shifter for some.
The offense, I mean, it's two straight games, and Tress Way is, had the best seat in the house other than having to hold kicks. He's just kind of watching, no punts in two games. They still haven't had a turnover all year. These are pretty efficient, pretty spectacular numbers. And Jaden Daniels, but he's already showing that he more than just belongs in this league. I mean, look, this team still is devoid of offensive playmakers. It didn't feel like it, though, last night, because the way he played. Give Cliff Kingsbury a lot of credit for using the pieces that he had to the best of everybody's ability. So I think from the offensive standpoint, and look, the offensive line had a really good game. I think Brandon Coleman, and Lucas, they split snaps at left tackle, but Coleman is another ascending player that they have. It looks like he's only getting better, and so that's huge. And, this is obviously the first game Terry McLaurin busted out. So I think offensively there's definitely a lot of reasons to be hopeful. And I have zero problem with that. The other side of the ball, that's where, I mean, we need to see. I mean, Michael Phillips and I were on a thread earlier, and he said, can you imagine if you didn't see the game and somebody told you the Bengals didn't punt and scored 33 points what the result was?
Right.
I mean, the defense has got to get so much better, but they were fortunate that they held the Bengals to, some field goal attempts, and Washington was only kept that, was only did that once, right? So it's, half the game, there's still a lot of concerns. I don't know how to say that otherwise, but at least on the offensive end, it is looking like they belong. I don't want to keep seeing them get in these shootouts, especially against a team like the Bengals, who have the weapons to get ahead of you and to make it tough. But Jaden Daniels showed he wasn't too worried about that. So I think the offensive side, has shown some good stuff. I just think that the defensive side, there's still a lot to be desired. Fortunately, the breaks have gone there Washington's way the last couple of weeks, but that to me is where it's hard to say how far this can go if the defense isn't going to get significantly better.
Yeah, there's, and I've mentioned, there's a limiting factor right now on what can be achieved. But in the NFL, when you got 7 of the 16 that qualify for the postseason, we've seen many a team with outstanding offense and an outstanding quarterback end up, you know, winning more games than they lose. It just kind of runs out of juice when you got to stop somebody in January, and I think we all understand that. We are talking to Ben Standing. Look, a big part of the three games, but definitely last night early and then on the second half kickoff, has been Austin Ekeler. What do we know about his concussion? And can you tell me, was it the kickoff or was he in on a play after the kickoff in which he got hurt?
Yeah, he had a run after the kickoff, and I believe that's the play he got okay. hurt on. I looked at the all 22 on it. A little hard to tell. It looked like a couple of guys kind of hit him at the same time. I don't know if there was like a shot to the helmet or not, but you know, look, somebody got at least a clean hit. We'll hear more from Dan Quinn later today. He stayed back in Cincinnati while the rest of the team flew ahead to Phoenix for the game this week. They had a couple of a team doctor and a trainer stay back with him. So don't know more than that for now. You know, obviously concussions are a tough deal, and you know, I can't project what may or may not happen. But obviously, if he's unable to, you know, get clearance here the next day or two, that his status for Sunday is going to be pretty dicey. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, I love that. You know, we've talked about this now for the last few weeks, that for all the talk about who's the second receiver, and my answer is basically, I think it's the two running backs, and the fact that they started out the game with both of those guys, Robinson and Ekeler, on either side of Daniels, and that, yes, exactly. Right. Take your best players and figure out a way to use them, and they did that. Ekeler has continued to be just so effective as a slithering power back, and of course he has a spectacular kick return. This is 2 weeks in a row, right? That he's yeah, 2 weeks in a row he's had a huge kick return. Obviously, the one against the Giants was called back, but this one set them up in great spot. So yeah, he's been a weapon. Obviously, Robinson, this wasn't his best game in terms of yards per carry, but he scored on the ground as well, and I'll just add that, you know, on the Daniels throw to Terry McLaurin, Jeremy McNichols is the one in there in the backfield. Presumably, that would have been an Austin Ekeler play. And you know, I've said to you before, I didn't really quite understand why they felt compelled to have to keep Jeremy McNichols, when I'm sure he would have cleared waivers and then they could have brought him up from the practice squad or whatever. But the justification for keeping a guy like that is you want to have a veteran behind sure. the quarterback for exactly what he did. He leveled the guy coming in to go after Jaden Daniels, but gave him enough time that let him throw the ball. So, yeah, good work from him, and hopefully Ekeler is able to come back soon, because, you know, he's been definitely a huge factor.
Yeah. He picks up one. I mean, they lined up like it was zero coverage. They actually dropped two players back into the middle of the field on third and seven, but there was still a free rusher, but you're right. He did a good job stepping up. And that's always, those are always like reasons that you end up with a guy like that versus the kid Wiley, who looks so impressive, or maybe a Rodriguez. It's because if we have to play them in an actual game that matters and our quarterback has to drop back, he'll know what to do. You know, when we say, hey, we need you to pick up that, you know, gap in terms of a potential rusher. And he did so in that case. Although, man, Jaden still took a pounding. How happy was everybody for Terry McLaurin's breakout game of 2024?
Yeah. No, for sure. He definitely was a very happy guy. In the locker room, Terry, after the game, when we were walking from the press box to the visiting locker room area, Terry was like one of the last guys to come off the field. And obviously he played at Ohio State, so there were Buckeye fans there. And we can hear, I was like, wait, what am I hearing here? And I realized that people are chanting, Terry, Terry. And you're like, what is that? What? And then you realize it's like Ohio State fans cheering for one of their guys. Yeah, he was really happy. You know what's fascinating about Terry McLaurin? He did get some separation on the 55-yarder, but obviously it was, you know, tight coverage on the touchdown. I mean, it was open by NFL quarterback standards, but not like open, right? That's why it was Next Gen Stats said it was the lowest for a touchdown. It had the lowest probability for happening of any touchdown this year in the league. He is so good at the contested catches. I think that's why he and Taylor Heinicke work so well, because Heinicke was kind of, you know, as he kind of said, throw the ball down and Terry's down there somewhere. He's just great at those, the concentration, the hands, and we saw that on that play. So, you know, again, I talk about the evolution of Jaden Daniels. You know, that first week, he's clearly a bit jittery in the pocket, jumping out too quickly. That's why he had all, you know, what, 16 carries or 16, you know, runs officially. Then the next game, the first half was kind of the same, but in the second half, it started to slow down. He stays in the pocket, hits Noah Brown down the field, and now it goes further. Now he's throwing it even, you know, further down the field, and he stayed in that pocket. Like you said, McNichols got one guy. He still got popped, but he stayed there. And you know, a lot of the times it is as simple as that. Is the quarterback going to, you know, wait long enough for the receiver to get open? And, you know, the throw was spectacular, but the catch, you know, we can't underrate that. He's getting almost, you know, midway to the end zone, inside the end zone, the sideline's right there. Perfect pass, but you still got to make the play, and he did just that.
Yeah, you know, in looking at that play again on 3rd and 7, you know, they drop two guys back into coverage. One of them's clearly a spy because it's 3rd and 7, and we've already seen this program where, you know, pressure, and then he gets out of it, and then he's moving the chains with his legs. I do think, and we talked about this earlier, that had, let's just say, Terry not gotten the knee down or whatever, they would have kicked the field goal there. They weren't going to go for a 4th and 7. But this team with this quarterback is going to have an opportunity for a lot of 4-down sets, not necessarily deep in their own territory, but, you know, 4th and 3, this guy, they're so multi in terms of what they can do with a quarterback that is dual threat. All right, last one for you. I think the O-line may not be getting the kind of credit they deserve. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit here. I'm curious as to what you think. I thought Biotish in particular was really good last night. I think Lucas has played well. I think Allegretti and Cosme do a good job. You know, we talked all off season. Number one concern for everybody, God, they needed to upgrade the O-line. Sometimes the coordinator and the quarterback make a difference. Go ahead on the O-line.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely for sure. I mean, you know, I think Kingsbury did a really good job. You know, I don't think anything has changed in terms of Lucas and Andrew Wiley. I mean, Lucas is, every time he's come in, he's played over the years, he's been effective, but over time there's diminishing returns. So what happens with him? We get past week 6, 6, 7, et cetera, except that now Brandon Coleman is there, and he, I thought, did some good work. So, yeah, the interior part of the line figured to be the strength. The question was the tackles. You know, Wiley's had some struggles earlier this year, but, you know, yeah, they've done a good job. And, yeah, having a guy with Jaden Daniels' ability to slither in and out of holes, get away from pressure, you know, covers up for so many other concerns. But yeah, that was a really good game. Trey Hendrickson's been one of the top pass rushers in the league, and he was fairly quiet for the most part last night. So yeah, no, you got to give them a lot of credit. Like I said, the offense has been, you know, pretty good. It's just been, you know, the questions on the other side, but yeah, no, it's been impressive. And, you know, again, yeah, Jaden Daniels just, wow. You know, I mean, he this is what the great quarterbacks do. I mean, he covers up so many issues. This is why you don't have to go spend crazy money at receiver, because this guy makes the extra play to make what you have work. Same thing with the offensive line. Obviously, you always want to get as good as you can at any of these spots, but yeah, he's making everybody look better.
All right, I got to go. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Yeah, there was a Hendrickson sack. I mean, he had one really good play. I didn't think Jaden had a shot on that one. That was what set up 2nd and 20, I believe, on that final drive. All right, something about their offense I haven't talked about when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.